I'm Duncan Strauss. Really delighted to bring you another edition, the post-fun drive edition of Talking Animals, in which we'll discuss various aspects of rescuing and caring and doing other things for feral cats with our guests, Donald Tardy of the band Obituary and his girlfriend, Heather. First, though, as always, we're kicking off the show with an animal tune. This is new music from the Dirt Daubers with She and Us Pets here on Talking Animals.
No more out the streets for me. I've got someone who's sweet to me. He'll turn up the heat for me. Move over, brother. It's just She and Us Pets. Like a kitty cuddles warm as a stove to me. Lots of sugar and sweet puppy love for me. A sweet turtle dove to me. Sign of a bottle. It's just She and Us Pets.
That's the Dirt Daubers with She and Us Pets. That's an animal song of sorts. Tease us into today's edition of Talking Animals. My name's Duncan Strauss here with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. In just a few minutes, we'll be speaking with today's guest, Donald Tardy, drummer with the pioneering death metal band Obituary, a periodic special guest on WNF's own Psycho Realms. And we're not above stealing a good idea. So also joining us will be Donald's girlfriend, Heather. They constitute the Metal Meowlisha, caring for more than 130 feral cats each day in the greater Tampa area, visiting some 20 colonies as part of their rounds to feed the felines, practice to trap, neuter, return, spay, neuter, etc. Well, care for them medically. Whatever they need done, Heather and Donald and others do it. So we'll find out more about this and the Metal Meowlisha's work when we speak with Donald and Heather in a few moments here on Talking Animals. And as usual, also welcome your questions and comments at 813-239-9663 or by email at dj@wmnf.org. Also, a bit later in the show, we'll step into the Comedy Corner, which involves animal comedy. We'll play Name That Animal Tune. The winner will receive one of the Whisper Machine CDs we were offering on last week's Fun Drive show. And later on, indeed, we'll chat briefly with Linda Hamilton, Executive Director of Animal Coalition of Tampa, ACT, about their 11th annual Stride for Strays. See how it all fits in thematically? Taking place this Sunday at Curtis Hickson Park. Right now, though, it's time for the Animal News and Announcements segment. A look at items of interest in animal news, as well as announcements of local events on the horizon. Produced, as always, by the Talking Animals award-winning Rip and Read News Department. Our first item involves thanks. Thank you. We just completed the WMNF Fall Fun Drive mere moments ago. I want to thank everyone who, of course, pledged to WMNF all week long, and specifically thank everyone who supported Talking Animals. And last Wednesday's Fun Drive show, we made our goal and then some under some pretty rough economic circumstances, obviously. So I really appreciate all who donated to WMNF in the name of Talking Animals. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Also, big congratulations to our friends at Florida Voices for Animals. Speaking of which, we have a late-breaking thank you for Suzanne House, who donated $25 to to be earmarked for Talking Animals. She likes Rob's show, Talking Animals. She's not at home as she's acting as an animal activist today. On her vacation, no less. So thank you, Suzanne. And as I was starting to say on a related note, big congratulations to our friends at Florida Voices for Animals, who on Saturday presented the second annual Tampa Bay Veg Fest, a great event at a great location, and it certainly appeared to be a great, great success. So many cool things going on there, great speakers, great food, other stuff. I fell in love with a couple of animals there, including a pig named Wilbur and a dog named Kirby, who closely resembled a polar bear. So, again, kudos to them. Later that day, I made my way to the WNS Paul Simon tribute, which was fantastic. Wonderful red bands doing Paul Simon music, including an animal song, of course, in the form of At the Zoo. So, kudos to tribute to Impresario Flea for a great show. In retrospect, though, I think when he was producing the John Lennon tribute, clearly he should have put Herman Cain on the bill. The Herminator! All right, so this is kind of the big story everywhere. I saw it early this morning, saw an update a bit ago. It was just talked about on NPR News. I've gotten emails about it left and right. So anyways, let's just jump in here. Dateline Zanesville, Ohio, on lockdown this morning with schools closed and drivers told to stay in their cars as police tracked dozens of wild animals who escaped from a nearby preserve. The Columbus Dispatch reported that the man who ran the preserve, which included lions, tigers, and bears, among other dangerous animals, had been found dead. It was unclear what killed the man, who was identified as Terry Thompson, and police did not elaborate when asked how he had died Tuesday night. An update, this was from a blog in the New York Times I found early this morning, but there has been an update. The Ohio sheriff says it appears that Thompson killed himself after letting the animals loose. So flashing lights on the road warned early morning commuters of the loose animals, and there's been all kinds of unfortunate things, including about 35. Police had killed about 35 of the 48 animals that escaped, the AP reported. And obviously it's an ongoing story. Schools have been closed. Awful, awful situation all the way around. So let's see. Locally and on a far more upbeat note, get your ghoul on. This Sunday, October 23rd, Hillsborough County Animal Services presents Cats, Bats, and Bones. You can meet real bats in person and learn about how these helpful creatures live and move around us. Bat school starts at 1 p.m. This is all taking place at Hillsborough County Animal Services, 440 North Falconbrook Road in Tampa. You can come for shelter training, trick-or-treating, and bring dog bones and other treats for pets and kennels and learn how to teach your pet tricks, quote-unquote, from pro trainers. You can cast your vote for the most batastic animals in the shelter. Maybe even take some home. October is it National Adopt-a-Dog Month. So the shelter opens for adoptions from 11 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. with the kids' batastic coloring table at noon. Shelter pet trick-or-treating from 1:30 to 3 p.m. So full slate of activities. To find out more, you can go to hillsboroughcounty.org/animalservices. And let's see, kind of a semi-local story or sort of local elements. A former Oakdale snake farm owner has been sentenced to jail for cruelty to animals, and a Florida snake farm is getting his snakes, the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries said Monday. David Bocheman got a 2-year sentence with 1 year suspended and credit for 5 months served since his arrest in May, department spokesman Anna Melnick said. He said Judge Joel Davis ordered Bocheman on October 6th to pay a $1,000 fine within 60 days of release or go back to jail for the second year. Sheriff's deputies searched the home after getting a complaint that a dog turned over to their Happy Hounds Rescue had been advertised for sale on the internet. Deputies booked them with cruelty to 17 dogs and 5 cats taken from their property. Wildlife agents then found these folks were possessing pythons over 12 feet in length without the required free permit. So arrangements have made now to send them to a Florida snake farm. Again, even more locally, the second annual Dogtoberfest is almost here. That's Saturday, October 29th at the shops at Wiregrass from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. The shop's located at the corner of Bruce B. Downs and State Road 56. And it'll be a huge pet costume with 7 categories, pet parade of all pets, either in those costumes or otherwise. More than 50 pet rescue groups with adoptable pets, vendors and pet-related rescues, live band, face painters, balloon artists, and more. So you can find out more about that presumably at animalbasedcharities.org. All right, also coming up this fall, 38 cities across North America will host a walk for animals, for farm animals to benefit Farm Sanctuary, the nation's leading farm animal protection agency. The Tampa Bay counterpart, the Tampa Bay Walk for the Animals, will be held on Saturday, November 5th at Fort DeSoto Park. The check-in's at 8:30 a.m. The walk is at 10 a.m. Celebration is at 11 a.m. And those interested or wanting to register can visit walkforanimals.org. And we'll hear more about the Tampa Bay Walk for Animals next Wednesday when one or perhaps both of the co-coordinators of that event, local event, join us for a brief interview on talking animals. And lastly, kind of a heads up, a further heads up. Mentioned this over several weeks and just want to make sure it's on your calendar. It's a benefit for Harry Hayward, wonderful man, terrific local musician, big animal guy. Big supporter of Talking Animals and the Talking Animals Festival. He's performed at both festivals. Anyway, he's facing a bit of a medical challenge at the moment, so and as many musicians often do, facing that without health insurance. So there's a fabulous benefit November 6th at Skipper's. On the bill includes Ronnie Elliott and the Nationals, Dirty Spoons and Trash, Chroma, the Crash Mitchell Five, the Roger Sullins Band, the Florida Mountain Boys. So mark your calendar. There'll be raffles. There'll be prizes. There'll be other fun. And you can find out more at HayWard, helphayward.com. And also Harry Hayward himself and Ronnie Elliott will join us November 2nd on Talking Animals. We'll play some animal songs, do some chatting, and have some fun as well. So, anyways, we'll hope you'll show up for that benefit. And to find out more, if you can't make it, maybe there's other ways you could help out with a few bucks for Harry's medical care. So let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which involves animal-oriented comedy. This is Brian Mallow with a relevant piece for our forthcoming interview called Feline Existentialism on today's Comedy Corner on Talking Animals.
But first, a word about feline existentialism. I know we humans have a tendency to anthropomorphize, to project our feelings and attributes upon other creatures, even inanimate objects. But having said that, I still believe cats are very profound creatures and more philosophically oriented than we ever give them credit for being. For instance, the other day, my cat, Damien, he's the anti-cat. He's a black cat. Damien was in a funk. He was moping around the house, walked out onto the patio, came back in, wandered into the kitchen, stirred his food around a little. Then he came over, rubbed up against my legs, looked up at me with these hopeful eyes, and gave out this plaintive meow. Meow. Which I think could be interpreted literally. I think he was saying, meow. I hurt. Life is painful and meaningless, all hairballs and tapeworms. Meow, he said. I'm itchy and scratchy and neutered and dry food sucks. Meow, he cried. Meow. Why was I created if only to endure this? Life is a litter box and it needs to be changed. Meow, he said. And with those simple words, I think he was trying to express a very complex emotion, despite having a limited vocabulary and no concept of syntax. He's followed in the footsteps of Jean-Paul Sartre, even though he has twice as many feet. Damien, the first feline existentialist. Damien would appreciate that. I always imagined a conversation between the existential cat and a pessimistic dog. Meow. Rough. Meow. Rough.
All right. That was Brian Mallow with a piece called Feline Existentialism, taken from his album Rational Comedy for an Irrational Planet. The so-called science comedian Brian frequently does pieces for Time Magazine's website. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals. Our website is talkinganimals.net. And it's nearly time to speak with today's guests, Donald and Heather. So, as I touched on earlier, Donald and Heather constitute the metal meow-litia. caring for more than 130 feral cats each day in the general Tampa area. Visiting 20 colonies as part of their rounds to feed the felines, practice trap, neuter, return, spay, neuter, looking after them medically, etc. Well, anyways, there's more to the story, but let's hear it from them. Why am I blabbing? Let's get these guys. Okay, well, let's welcome. And again, we always, of course, take your calls at 813-239-9663, or you can email us at dj@wmnf.org if you want to get in on the conversation. Let's welcome Donald and Heather to Talking Animals. Good morning, and thank you so much for joining us on Talking Animals.
Good morning. Thank you very much for inviting us. This is very exciting for us.
Well, likewise. I've been hearing about you guys' great work for a long time, and it's good to be able to delve into it. And in person, I'm always excited to have people in studio because almost all these things tend to be on the phone, so it's just great to look across at people while you're chatting with them, of course. So anyway, now listeners of Psycho Realms are fortunate enough to be very familiar with Donald. You're practically a co-host of that show,
it seems like
at times. So, but for Talking Animals, listeners who may not know, maybe you could just briefly tell us a bit about Obituary, what the band is, what it does. You know, just give
sure.
us a quick overview.
Yeah, you know, Obituary is a band that started in 1985, so it's been close to 27 years, believe it or not, that we have been together. And for 20 of that have been writing albums and touring the world. So it's something that I have been doing for most of my life, and it is my career. My passion is feral cats and helping homeless animals. So Obituary is lucky enough to have a fan base that still buys the records and comes and see our shows live, and that's how we make a living, and that's what that is what we are currently doing right now, is writing the new studio album, preparing for 2012.
Cool. And what, again, just for folks listening who might not have as much a sense of this as the Psycho Realm listeners or listeners at other parts of the day on WMNF. Can you kind of sort of locate Obituary for us on the metal or death metal hierarchy? I mean, obviously been around a long time. We know that, but
yeah, you know, it was from the beginning. Obituary and Tampa, Florida in general, somehow in the metal world, we started at an early age and an early year, and with the competition in Tampa, we pioneered somewhat the death metal scene around this world, along with other metal bands right from here, like Chuck Schuldiner from Death, Deicide, Morbid Angel.
Tampa became known as the death metal capital of the world in the early 90s. So even though it's somewhat of an underground movement, it's one that has hundreds of thousands of fans worldwide, and Obituary actually is considered kind of one of the godfathers of the movement.
Right. Well, I that's what I thought, and I thought, okay, thank God, Heather, in fact, if you wouldn't mind just getting a little closer to the mic, we don't want to miss a word or a syllable of what you're saying, but yeah, that's the thing. I mean, to me, Obituary is, you know, huge and influential, and, so I just think for some context, that's not necessarily why we're here today to talk, but I just think it's interesting to kind of know what people do in their other parts of their lives if they're huge animal, you know, nuts or helpers or interested in animal welfare. So anyways, okay, so how important were animals to you as a kid? I mean,
you know, for me, I was always around animals as a child. There's four children in the family, and we were that family that had dogs and cats and parrots and everything else. And I always leaned towards cats. I don't know what it is. I love dogs and other animals, but it has always been cats for me. They choose you. And it's
or don't, in this case,
maybe. Or don't, yeah. And it's on their terms. And something about that just intrigued me from the get-go, that you had to really gain their trust. A dog will love you no matter what, and a cat kind of chooses you, or like you said, or does not. And I found that very interesting.
Yeah.
And then, of course, throughout my whole life, it's just always been animals. So I've been kind of that guy always.
And so, and Heather, these questions are, you know, obviously for both of you, so feel free to jump in if I don't specifically say Heather.
Okay.
What do you think about this? But so then when did so you've always been pretty much of a cat guy, but when did sort of feral cats and that whole world either become something you became aware of, much less something you said, hey, this is something I might want to help out with?
It's probably been 7 years now that
around December 2004, January 2005, we spotted a kitten in the bushes at a McDonald's drive-thru, and of course we were compelled to help the kitten, but the little kitten didn't really want us to get quite close enough to touch her. So we actually were fortunate that I had already been just kind of briefly oriented to some people that were doing trap, neuter, return and rescuing kittens. And so we embarked on the adventure of borrowing traps and learning how to trap. And, of course, we were novices, so we chased the little kitten around the bushes for a few weeks. But we were able to successfully trap her, socialize her, and adopt her out. And, you know, once your eyes are opened, the awareness, you start noticing, boy, there's a lot of cats on the streets.
Yeah. It's just like anything else. Isn't it interesting? That's such a good point, because it's just like, you know, suddenly you know, some friend has kind of a weird car, and all of a sudden you thought, I've never seen that car before, and the next weekend you see nothing but those cars.
Absolutely.
And it's the same idea. All of a sudden it's like, oh my God, there are feral cats everywhere.
When you own a house and you buy a new shrub, the next thing you're doing is throughout the whole neighborhood, you're looking at people's shrubs, and you never even considered that
I'm
before.
Surrounded by those shrubs, and I didn't see that yesterday.
That's the same thing with feral cats. It's not like we go hunt and look for them, day, night, all the time. It's just that once you're into it and your eyes are open to it, you really do see
the need. There's a very high level of need. Cats are treated like they're disposable in this society. More cats are euthanized in shelters than any companion animal in our society. It's a very sad problem, and yet the latest polls that they've done say that cats are America's favorite pet, yet they're being killed more than any other companion animal, and that's a horrible paradox there. And the answer to that is spay-neuter, and that is absolutely the core root idea of what we do. Compassion goes beyond the food dish.
Absolutely, and ASPCA, they endorse it. That is the only humane and...
Trap, neuter, return
is the only humane way to keep the population
and effective of
the strays.
Well, yeah, and I want to, in a moment or two, ask you guys to kind of describe more specifically trap, neuter, return, because I feel that's something that can never be discussed too much on a show like this. Because,
absolutely.
You know, but first, okay, so you rescued that one cat you saw near the McDonald's thing. But how did you go from there to say, okay, you know what, we started seeing more? Is that kind of what prompted you? Because to me, it seems like when people start working with or helping feral cats, that's not a decision they take lightly, because once you step into that world, you feel pretty committed. It's kind of hard to say, all right, I just did that for the weekend, now I'm going to go back and, you know, good luck to them.
And you are correct. That was the minute we started. It was probably the next
weekend. Things accelerated pretty quickly. We noticed other cats in the area. You know, the state of Florida, the Tampa Bay area, does have a very large feral free-roaming cat population, and of course the economy in the last few years has not really helped, because you have a lot of people dumping their cats on the streets unspayed, unneutered. So just our eyes were open, we started noticing them, and once you have dealt with, I think actually right after we rescued little Pickles from McDonald's, we trapped another kitten from the first two feral cats that we began feeding, and she was a very sick little kitten that almost didn't make it, and you realize the dire need for spay-neuter. And so now when we drive down the streets, we see a cat, we wonder, we stop and check it out. Is this a feral cat? Is this cat sterilized? Is this a free-roaming cat that's going to reproduce if we don't come back with a trap and do something about it?
Yeah, and we did learn very quickly how to do it, thanks to the ACT Clinic and the Humane Society of Tampa Bay. It is one of those things where we wanted to learn more on TNR and how to trap, neuter, return properly and take care of, you know, our part of the woods, and that's kind of what we did.
And two quick things. One is Animal Coalition of Tampa, ACT or ACT, not coincidentally, we're going to be talking to Linda a little bit later.
She's
strays.
She's a very good friend.
Yeah, and it all kind of hooks together, I think, with today's show. But I think, you know, just because some people listening, I doubt there's many, but some people might be listening and think, trap the cats. Why? They sound like nice people. Why are they doing mean things like that?
Right.
So maybe let's jump ahead and really, if you guys wouldn't mind describing exactly what TNR is, what those words mean, and how the procedure typically works.
Well, it means trap, neuter, return, and there is an emphasis on return. It's not compassionate to trap a cat and take him to some place where the cat is not familiar with. Usually they will die a horrible death trying to get back to their known home. So it's trap, neuter, return, and the idea is that we set humane traps. They are very, very safe, and you lure the cat in with food. They are trapped. You cover them immediately to help calm them down, and typically they will go for surgery the next day. With males, usually they can go right back out the next day. Females usually need a little bit more recovery time since it's a more invasive surgery, but you care for them during that time. Sometimes you might have a cat that maybe has some further medical needs, you know, whether it's just they have a cold and they need antibiotics or if they have an injury. We and our little network of feral cat friends have actually treated many feral cats for all sorts of things. Very successfully. It's been very, very rewarding. You know, even cats that you can't touch, it doesn't mean that you can't help them.
Right. Okay. So in a oversimplified nutshell, TNR is basically aiming to sterilize these cats
and
so
that sterilize and vaccinate
so
yes.
that the overpopulation problem is as contained as it can be, not exacerbated
right.
by
and,
it. Yeah.
And they're automatically all of the programs, they are automatically also vaccinated against rabies, depending on what service program you're using, they may or may not get their distemper upper respiratory shot, but you also result in just a healthier population. And healthier doesn't mean more cats. It means less disease, whether it's for the cats or just, you know, in general. You're looking at a healthier population of cats that are not reproducing.
And it's also considered a tipped ear program because what they do is they will tip, normally it's their left ear,
yes.
they tip one of their ears. So then when you go back and you see which cats have been done, have not been done, it's very simple to see which cat has been.
It's become the universal symbol. Donald, in his travels with Obituary, has even seen tipped ear cats as far as Tel Aviv, Israel.
Yeah.
You know, that's so interesting because I was going to add, one of my questions was whether they still do the tipped ear thing.
And all over the
world.
Okay,
all
because, you know, we had a cat, this is years ago when we still lived in California, that was a feral cat that found us and moved into our garage. Very savvy cat because they came to the right place. But so when we did all those things, they tipped her ear and she
yep.
still looks like that now. But I thought I'd heard or read that in some cases they'd stopped doing that. But isn't it the main idea is to signal
absolutely.
To rescuers
yes.
that this cat has had spay neuter
absolutely.
Done and hopefully also vaccinated.
And this cat hopefully has a caretaker. They're being recognized more and more in more and more counties and states as pretty much some symbolic of being an owned cat.
Yep.
So, okay, so let me let people know that might have just tuned in. Again, we're just sort of in the immediate wake of our fall fund drive at WNF. So this is Talking Animals. If you just tuned in, we're speaking with Donald Tardy, drummer with the band Obituary. And Heather, I'm going to try it. Wanker?
Yes.
Pretty.
That works.
Okay, good. You sound like close, but not quite. Okay.
I don't know either.
Okay, all right. So chiefly about their work caring for more than 130 some odd feral cats each day. If you'd like to join the conversation, ask a question about feral cats, offer a comment about feral cats, please call 813-239-9663 or email dj@wmnf.org. So we already have an email or two. We're going to get to that in a sec. But so I know it's impractical for a variety of reasons to get into the details about the locations of the cats and the colonies that you guys visit every day. But can you walk us through sort of a typical day of looking after these cats? Like, you know, what happens first? Where do you have a certain order? Do you have certain things that happen at a certain location that don't happen at another location? Just sort of maybe give us a little guided tour if you could.
All individually, it goes from the bigger cat colonies that are very ready for you to pull in and they see your car come up and they all come out of the bushes and they're very excited for me to be pulling in there for dinner time.
I'm sure.
And then it's as small as just one or two cats that literally hide in the bushes until my truck pulls away and then they sneak out to get their food and water to eat that evening. So it's a wide variety of how they greet us and how
like with humans, everybody, we've got our own little way with what works with each little group, and most of the groups are pretty small. And the idea is, of course, taking care of feral cats, it is not a right. It's a privilege. And it's very important that people realize you have to be respectful of your neighbors and of property owners as you do this. You don't leave garbage. You pick up garbage. You try to leave things in a better situation than they were before you came, where the cats aren't reproducing. Things are well cared for, and hopefully things are just operating where it's not even being noticed.
Yeah, and in general, you know, the business owners, the property owners that we are, we, like Heather said, we
develop relationships with some of them.
Yeah,
they've
sure.
recognized our efforts. They appreciate that if somebody, even though they know that the existing cats are spayed and neutered, they appreciate that if somebody dumps a kitten or a cat, they know we're going to work to get it out of there, you know, and they know that we're going to ensure they're fixed.
So, okay, so then that might further answer part of my question. So, okay, on a normal day, you pull up, some come running to you. It's like, oh, my God, dinner. Yay. And some are a little more shy. But then let's say that since you were there last, a kitten has been dumped or some other cat has been dumped. How does that alter the routine? I mean, you say, hey, I haven't seen that guy before.
It does alter the routine. It really just depends. If it's a feral adult and the next day is a day when it can go to a clinic to be spayed or neutered, then, of course, we try and trap them. Sometimes when a kitten shows up in an area where you know, gosh, you know, this just happened to us. We haven't had kittens here in 5 years. Somebody probably dumped him or he wandered up from a yard somewhere. And, you know, you always want to help the babies get off the street. So you have a little bit more of a sense of urgency to, okay, I better try and trap this little baby now before he gets away from us and becomes part of the breeding population. But, it just kind of depends what's going on, what the next day is. We're very fortunate here. We have two really wonderful clinics, the Humane Society of Tampa Bay and Animal Coalition of Tampa Clinics. And you can get cats sterilized here Monday through Saturday. I mean, that's pretty amazing. We have the lowest prices that I know of in Florida. The Humane Society right now, it's $15 to get a feral cat in a trap sterilized and vaccinated. And that's, I mean, $15. You can't eat out for that.
Yeah.
But you can not only change that cat's life, you can prevent hundreds of thousands of cats from being born just by sterilizing one.
Okay, cool. Well, I've got a few more emails and I think some callers, and even though it seems kind of ridiculous, especially in this instance, in theory, on this kind of station, we can't really talk about the prices of things, but we can certainly talk just generally. And the main thing is those places both have very low cost prices for spay and neuter.
Yes,
and
yes.
That's the main thing. And again, you go to those websites, actampa.org, and is it Tampa? I see, how do the Hillsborough one? I forget. I sometimes get the order reversed of their website.
The Humane Society. Gosh, I always just type
we'll
in Humane
it.
Society.
We'll find it. Yeah,
they're very easy to find on the radar.
Yeah, and okay, well, let's work some of these. Hi, you're on WMF on Talking Animals with Donald and Heather. Hello, it's you. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Donald and Heather.
Is it me?
It is you.
Oh, great. Okay. Why would you take a predatory animal that's invasive, it's not natural to North America, and turn it loose where it preys on animals in the wild?
Well, humans are actually the most predatory species, and human intervention and loss of habitat is the number one killer of birds in all wildlife. And we don't take any action against humans. We certainly are not trying to bring any more cats into this world, and our objective, even like somebody who doesn't like cats, is to reduce the population.
Well, when they capture a dog, they euthanize it. Why do they not do the same thing with the cat?
Actually, I have in front of me some of the statistics from our local county shelter, and probably about 40% less, or actually about 60% less dogs are euthanized at Hillsborough County Animal Services than cats. There's probably 100 or 200 dog rescue groups in the Tampa Bay area. Even though more cats are impounded, we only have a few groups that are working very hard with cats. And the euthanasia and intake numbers at Hillsborough County Animal Services, while of course I'm not a representative, have been directly impacted by the increased spay-neuter numbers of the clinics and the hard work of the trap-neuter return program.
Well, personally, I just think when you turn these cats loose, they do more damage to the natural habitat, and they should be euthanized also.
Well, we understand that many people do feel that way. Again, our standpoint is we are not God figures. We believe all animals have a right to live. We don't choose one animal over the other to say, well, the coyotes eat the cats, so we want to kill all the coyotes. We maintain that animals killing other animals is sad, but humans killing other animals is immoral and cruel, and the two just can't be equated. It's not the same thing to us. The overpopulation problem was created by humans, and it's up to humans to solve it. That's our feeling, and we do understand there's people that will feel differently.
And thank you so much for your call. We have other callers and emailers, but we appreciate your comments today. Thank you. Okay, so on a related note, we have one of our emailers, the subject heading is Cat with Tipped Ears. It says, hi, I have to take issue with the quote-unquote return part of this, the failure to identify a gentle cat who can be adopted. I adopted a cat from the Humane Society, and she had a tipped ear. I did ask, what was she in a feral cat. Was she a feral cat? I guess what they mean. Oh, no. First of all, never should lie. Second, she turned out to be the friendliest, fun-loving cat. Plays with toys, domestic. I would never peg her to be wild, but she had a bowel problem. I'm sure she developed struggling in the wild. Why don't the people who do this do a better job of screening who is and isn't a feral cat? She would never survive in the wild. She ended up a stray, taken in by someone who brought her to the Humane Society.
Well, that's a very good question, and it has happened to all of us. In fact, I've seen situations where we've had a cat that showed up near, you know, in the area of somewhere where we fed, and we couldn't get near the cat. We had a pretty difficult time trapping, and then once you get your hands on them, if you get your hands on them, you find out, you know what, this is a cat that was a domesticated pet and is actually friendly but terrified because it has been turned loose on the streets to fend for itself. You aren't always able to judge that right when you trap a cat. The other thing is, you know, to blame the people that are the very few people that are out there trapping hundreds of cats, even thousands, some of them a year. It's a very it's stressful work. It's high volume work. There's very few people doing it. So unfortunately, not only will some possibly not be recognized as being adoptable, that with a little work and some love will be, but also, you know, in this economy, people are dumping their pets. Adoptions are really down. So sadly, even some of the most adoptable cats, even people like us that are very well networked with the rescue groups and, you know, everybody that's doing adoptions, right now to get an adult friendly cat off the streets, it's pretty darn difficult. If it's a Siamese cat, it's one thing, but it's very hard, and there are not enough homes for everybody, so it's difficult to even get them into, you have to get them into adoption programs. When you find them on the streets, that often means you need a foster home to get them healthy, get them into adoptable shape. And, you know, if we ask the question right now, okay, everybody who wants to foster, please call in. Those phone lines might get quiet. They're just spay, neuter, foster, adopt. Those are the important things.
And the thing is, I think more broadly, perhaps, is that, you know, that, as you kind of suggested, Heather, I mean, people that do this kind of work, you guys and the people at the Humane Society who this person had this question about, I mean, are first of all, deluged. I mean, you can't keep up with the amount of work.
But we appreciate a question like that.
Right.
Somebody
it's important to talk about.
He loves his pet. He's adopted.
Sure.
So that question really comes from the heart, and it does actually also demonstrate there are plenty of cats on the streets, whether it's adult cats, kittens. There are many out there needing homes. Same thing, the shelters are absolutely overflowing. And you know what? If you've got a spare room, a spare bathroom, that's the best way to save lives.
Well, and the other thing, too, is that all these circumstances, even if, you know, people as busy as they are and doing the best they can, the other thing is, I mean, sometimes you just don't know because they are animals and you don't know what their story is.
You don't always know.
That feral that came in and sort of moved in our house, when we did trap her and take her to the vet, they said, there's no way you can domesticate this cat. Okay, well, they were saying that's the wrong guy, and this cat is, you know, like the nicest, sweetest cat ever that lives with us, and again, tipped ear, but again, that took a lot of time and energy and effort to socialize that cat, who was, again, terrified and not at all human-friendly. So, and again, maybe another cat fitting that profile, no matter what I had done, wouldn't have made me turn that corner.
Right.
So, but all you can do is try if you care about the cats.
Certainly.
And you can't necessarily come with a guarantee if you go adopt a cat.
Of course.
So, all right, we're sort of nearing the last few minutes of our time somehow already. But anyways, this is Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss. My guests are obituary drummer Donald Harding, his girlfriend Heather Winker, where we're discussing, of course, feral cats and looking after them. And one of our emailer questions got to a question I was going to ask anyway, so let's give them the credit anyways. This says, great work, you guys. Do you release only, or do you try to get the cats adopted?
Any friendly ferals,
try to get them into adoption programs. Again, we're often limited by foster homes. Some cats from the streets, there are definitely situations where we show up and we see a cat that's just terrified, shivering. You can tell somebody probably just dumped him right there on the corner. We've even seen where people left a cat with a can of cat food. So that does happen, and sometimes you are able to get them directly into adoption programs. But normally when you're bringing a cat from the streets, you know, they are going to need to be fostered. You need to, you know, make sure their temperament's adoptable, treat them for fleas or just anything that they may have going on. But we work very hard. We've rehomed many, many, many hundreds of cats and kittens.
Yeah.
And with more foster homes, we could do more in that regard.
Yeah. And the kittens, obviously, we try our best to socialize them ourselves if we can, if we have the room in our house, if we have a spare bathroom, because the last thing we want to do is put a kitten back out. And we really don't, if it is a young enough kitten that we know we can.
We avoid it at all costs. Unfortunately, there are so few of us, and so many, the few of us that are doing this, we're doing all facets. We have full-time jobs. We're doing trap, neuter, return. Many of us are caring for feral cat colonies. We're also doing rescue and fostering. It's a huge demand time-wise. And, you know, you do have those cats or kittens that you think, okay, this one's going to be very adoptable. Maybe they don't come around. So that's another reason that maybe some of, as the caller asked, if it seems like some of the people doing this aren't doing a good enough job screening, many of them have had, you know, plenty of kittens that ended up being returned or couldn't be adopted out. And once you get to that point, you have to judge your situation, and, you know, you can't take it. It's a risk. So more people that are able, that have time on their hands or maybe a spare bathroom, you know, go to your local shelter or rescue group and please, you know, foster. It saves lives.
So, okay, well, gosh, we are nearing the end of time. I got so many emails I haven't gotten to, my own questions. But one of the things I do want to get into, because this might hook into some other things, the Metal Meowlisha. Now, is that an actual, like, nonprofit, or is it on its way to that?
We haven't gotten there yet.
It's on its way.
We hope to. We're pretty broke, and we have to take the immediate needs of the cats under our care.
Right.
Put that in trap, neuter, return first, but it is something that we do hope to do.
Because a couple things. One is obviously that this must take endless resources financially.
Yes.
So I figured some people listening would want to probably donate and try to help with the costs of the food and medical care and stuff that you guys are picking up. So is there, I know there's an email address on the obituary website. Is there anywhere in particular that they should contact you guys? Because I know a website's under construction, but not quite there.
It is. Yeah. So, you know what, at this point, the helpcatsatobituary.cc is where we really would like people to, at this point, to even just give us their comments and...
if they want to help out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that's the other thing, is I figured, you know, you guys could probably use some help, some resources, if people got the kind of training, right?
Because
the thing is, you can't just go into this without a little bit of training,
right,
like you yourselves
got
from the ACT.
Yeah, we're just two people, and Don tours a lot, so it does become quite a challenge.
But so for people who want to help out either financially or come out and learn to help you guys properly, and then or maybe they already have experience, in which case they could jump right in, helpcats@obituary.cc.
That's right.
That's the email to do that. Okay, so here are, and again, it's interesting that kind of a varied response to something like this draws. So here's another one that the subject line is trap, neuter, return. Although I'm a committed animal lover, I have reservations about TNR. Not only do feral cats devastate the environment, even a well-fed house cat can significantly affect the local fauna through predation. I think that populations of feral cats that are fed and maintained by well-meaning individuals encourage irresponsible people to abandon cats to that area. We only have probably less than a minute or so if you want to respond to that.
Think that people's irresponsibility is a decision they make on their own. I think if they're going to dump the cat, they're going to dump it anyway. And again, human intervention and loss of habitat is the number one killer of birds and all wildlife. So we maintain that you're either part of the problem or part of the solution. We're part of the solution by getting the cats fixed so as to reduce the population. We feel that to kill them is immoral and cruel. That's our opinion, and at least we aren't just sitting around and feeding them and allowing them to reproduce. We do not condone that sort of activity. We do not condone people acting irresponsibly. The high level of abandonment is very troubling, but I don't think that somebody that's going to abandon their cat, you know, on the streets is somebody that's not going to do it otherwise. You know, they're going to take them to a kill shelter. That cat is going to be out of their possession somehow, I would imagine.
Well, and here, because I'm afraid now we are sort of at the end of our time, but here's a perfect email on which to end this conversation. It says, "Hi, I will apply to be a foster home for cats. I have a kitty now, a rescue. Amber is healthy and would be happy with a housemate. My only concern is that the cats be healthy so I don't endanger Amber. I have my own home, a great 3-foot-high scratching post, toys, wet and dry food, and a lot of love. I have rescued another cat who was abused with patience. She did great. I agree there is such a need for foster homes." So that's from Gina, and I've already forwarded that email
The
hellcats@obituary.cc.
Awesome.
So to me, that's one final thing from Heather, and then unfortunately, but we'll have another conversation down the road with you guys for a little update too.
One thing that's a very important aspect, especially for the people that do have concerns and criticisms for trap, neuter, return, shelter euthanasia, and it's been demonstrated here specifically in Hillsborough County costs more money for taxpayers than when individuals like us perform trap, neuter, return, and thereby reduce the population. So, you know, if you prefer that your tax dollars just kill innocent animals, that's certainly your preference, but do realize those, that's what your tax dollars are doing. Donald and I are doing this on our own funds. We are working to reduce the population. We certainly don't want more cats on the streets either. So just remember, shelter euthanasia costs more to taxpayers than when individuals like us reduce the population and keep the cats out of the shelter in the first place.
All right. Well, cool. Thank you so much. This has been Donald Tardy and Heather Wanker. Okay, pretty good. And again, also, I think I spotted, too, that there's a Facebook underway now for
a
Metal
Meow
Militia.
Yeah, we're
trying to work
on that. You know, unfortunately, since it is just the two of us, we get very little time online. But okay. We're working on that.
All right,
that,
so definitely. Keep checking, keep searching for the Metal Meow Militia website, which will be launched soon, and the Facebook already exists. And thank you guys again
for coming in
and all your great work, and we'll have another update down the road and see more about all the cool cats that have found homes and see if we can stir up some more email responses, too. So,
Thanks again for
joining us on Talking Animals today. Okay, I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals, where the show website is talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed to name that animal tune. There'll be a prize, a CD from Whisper Machine called The Last Temptation of Bunny Duck, to the first person who calls 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal tune. We'll be back with Linda Hamilton of ACT about Stride for Strays right now, though. It's Name That Animal Tune on Talking Animals. There are some people calling now, but we'll probably have to take them off the air because it's time now to speak with Linda Hamilton. She's the executive director of the Animal Coalition of Tampa, and well, she'll tell us why we're talking to her in particular today in one sec. So, Linda, are you there?
I'm here, Duncan.
Okay, well, thanks so much for joining us on Talking Animals, and I don't know if you had a chance to listen, but we just had Donald and Heather, who, of course, got their early feral cat rescue experience.
I think the pair.
Yeah, so.
I love them.
Yeah, me too, and we had a good conversation. So, quickly, maybe just, probably be a review for most listeners, but just in case, what is ACT and what does it do? Obviously, we've talked about it a few times on the show, but some people may be listening for the first time. So,
sure. Our mission is to make sure that people can afford to keep those animals in their homes, that we provide whatever medical need that they need in order to not have to show up to the county, because by the time they get to the county, they usually don't make it back out. So we started with low-cost spaying and neutering, and now we just pretty much offer people what do you need to keep your dog and cat safe and healthy, and with a focus on the spay and neuter.
Okay, cool. So so obviously this does kind of hook, of course, directly into what we were just speaking to Donald and Heather about. So what exactly is Stride for Strays?
It's our biggest fundraiser. We have not raised our surgery prices since we opened in 2006. We have gotten so busy. So crowded that
too busy to raise your prices. That's my kind of busy. That's great.
We've gotten so busy that we just have not wanted to upset the apple cart.
Sure. No,
so
that's
what
great.
What we do is just keep, whatever we're doing well, but one of the things we're not doing well is enough space. Our rooms aren't as elastic as our, ability to meet the needs of people. and now we're having to push the walls back. We think we found that spot, but we need money. Stripe for Stacy is our number one fundraiser. It's the only big fundraiser. It's the only real time that we reach out and say, hey, can you help us? It's a dog walk, but you don't have to have a dog. I don't have a dog. My cats won't let me.
Right. So. Well, that's you got to listen to them. So let's get into some of the basic details. So it's happening this Sunday.
This Sunday. And this year we've made it easier for people. That's probably one of our biggest differences this year over years in the past. We have made it as easy as going in and registering. The registration is $25. However, it does include your T-shirt, bandana, and the tote bag. So, and for kids, there's no reason to register them. They can come with mom and dad.
Cool. So what all happens?
You don't need to go to a Petco to pick anything up like we've done in the past, because that's just kind of hard for people to do. We have tripled, quadrupled our size of registration, so it should be a check-in. So it's just a matter of picking your T-shirt up the morning of and going to see rock and roll with the vendors and the agility and the
So there's other things that are happening in addition to the walk itself.
Oh, absolutely. First of all, we're moving down to Curtis Hicks in River Park.
Yeah, what prompted the move there?
We needed a bigger place.
Okay, that's a good problem to have.
Yeah,
great.
We continue to outgrow places, and we also, Tampa Trib sponsoring us in a big way. And they're right down there, so they've offered. It's easy. There's a lot of our supporters downtown, and it's a lovely place to be.
Cool.
So the registration check-in will be real easy to find. Look for the big red sky catcher balloons, and where the table's right under it.
Cool.
We've
and
got
again,
that marked, and then we've got programs there.
Great. And if you said it, I might have missed it. But again, it's not only this Sunday, but it's this Sunday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. And it's at Curtis
right.
Hickson.
Check-in will start around 8:30.
Okay.
Vendors will open at 9. Walk will be at 10. But the agility, the Zumba dancers, the rock bands, the contest, and all of those things will be interwoven. We've got some wonderful, great raffle prizes. Southwest Airlines has given us 2 tickets.
Wow.
And again, anybody that is there and buys a raffle ticket has the same chance as anybody else.
Sure.
We've got a $500 gift card, Visa gift card, part of the raffle, and so many other things.
That's great. So again, for people to find out kind of more details about this and other things, I guess they could just go to actampa.org and then look for the big info on Stride for Strays?
Right. You can go directly to register, or you can click on events, and that'll take you to the whole section on what is the event, how do you do it, what's it all about, where do the funds go. Or if you just say, hey, I want to go. And if you can't make it, we have a virtual walker option.
Oh, cool.
Virtual walker.
Aren't you fancy?
Says, I'm going to be there in spirit. Please send my T-shirt to my house.
Neat. And Linda, so you mentioned earlier this is kind of really important, fundraising element for Animal Coalition of Tampa. What does Stride represent in terms of what it would hope to generate? And you've done it 10 years in the past, so you probably have a good idea. What does that represent of ACT's operating budget? I mean, how?
Well, we basically, to tell you the truth, we keep low prices.
Mm-hmm.
But we squeeze every nickel that we get,
mm-hmm.
and we basically can make our debits equal our credits and cover operations costs without having to continue to reach out over and over and over again saying, give me more money, give me more money.
Right.
What this represents are things over and above what we normally do.
Okay.
And we've got our eye on a place. It's not going to be very far at all from where we are. And we should be making that announcement real soon.
Great, great, great. So,
that's so critical to building out a new place.
Yeah, it sounds like the expansion is important and maybe even at this point overdue a little bit. So it sounds like really a lot of if people came out to support Stride, like you say, whether they have a dog or not, or even register for the walk, but otherwise participate and donate, what they're helping to do is expand the Animal Coalition of Tampa's actual services and physical building.
That's it?
Yeah,
so that
cool.
Our waiting room can move inside instead of being under a tent outside.
Cool, cool, cool. Well, all right. Well, this sounds really great, and we'll look forward to a fun, exciting day on Sunday. And
great.
And again, good luck to you. And anybody, again, has any other questions, they can just go to actampa.org. Thanks, Linda.
Thanks for the opportunity, Duncan.
Absolutely.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. So Linda Hamilton, one more time, from Animal Coalition of Tampa. So my name's Duncan Strauss. And we have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. This is Hugh Masekela in the background, shamelessly ripped off from Jeff Stewart, who played it Monday on his great show, International Rhythm Ball. That, all right, there you go. I'll be stealing that idea, of course. So we'll be back next Wednesday, October 26th at 11 a.m. with another edition of Talking Animals. Also, I hope you'll join us then, and I hope you also visit our website, talkinganimals.net, where we make available all sorts of information as well as archives and podcasts of past Talking Animals programs. We also have a link to the Talking Animals Facebook page or Twitter feed and more. That's all found at talkinganimals.net. Talking Animals Broadcast Outreach Consultant is Libby McKenna. My thanks to her. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. Stay tuned for the fabulous Scott Elliott with the All Souls edition of It's the Music, airing next from noon to 3. And including today, a feature featuring a visit, I should say, from the Mighty Diamonds. Not sure when that's happening, but I know they're coming in to hang with Scott, so that'll be awesome. Anyway, we're closing out today's show, as always, with an animal tune. This one from Chuck Berry, who turned 85 yesterday. So this is Chuck Berry with Too Much Monkey Business, taking us up to the NPR News, and then Scott Elliott and his great, great show right here on WMNF Tampa. Thanks to all our guests. Thanks to all our supporters on the WMNF Fall Fun Drive. We'll see you next Tuesday, next Wednesday. What day is that, am I on now? At 11 a.m. on Talking Animals. It's WMNF Tampa. Thanks.